Good morning, brothers and sisters. And to you online, we welcome you again this morning. Thank you all for joining us. It is just good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? To worship the Lord. At least I think it is. I want to mention two things that we maybe didn't touch on yet from the bulletin. One is, if you're interested in being part of the membership of this congregation, we are going to have a meeting next Sunday night. A lot of you have asked about that, and Casey and I, even though we've been very, very busy on Sunday nights with Celebrate Recovery training and a lot of other things, next Sunday night we will have a meeting for anybody that has questions or desiring a membership. Next Sunday night we'll get together. And I do want to say one more word about Celebrate Recovery. Our team has been working for over 2 months in preparation for Celebrate Recovery, and that's going to be rolled out October 22nd. And maybe you don't know anything about Celebrate Recovery, or maybe you do. Maybe you think, well, that's just for people with addictions, for drugs or alcohol. And that's true, it is. But Celebrate Recovery is a lot more than that. And so on the table back here in the foyer, there are some handouts that look like this. If you have any questions about that, see Dale or Carla or myself. And there's a lot of team members. Their name isn't listed on here yet, but it's a lot of things. And when you look at a brochure like that, it talks about drug addiction, yes, but it talks about anxiety. And it talks about mental health and anger and divorce and shame and gambling and guilt and sexual addictions and all kinds of things. So when Celebrate Recovery rolls out, maybe you got somebody in mind, or maybe you could benefit a little yourself. But if you got somebody in mind, you tell them October 22nd it's going to start. And I just think it's going to be good because the team has worked hard in getting ready. And it's all Bible-based. And so that's starting here soon, and I just hope you'll take note of that. Well, I need to jump right into where we're going today. And I'm going to kind of pick it up where we left off last week. Not so much from John 11, but the same idea. And if you were here last week, you know that we were talking about John 11, and we got to that last verse after when Jesus was standing at the tomb of Lazarus, and the Bible says he wept. And so he was standing there at the tomb, and he was weeping. His friend Lazarus was dead. He's in the tomb, and the Jews that had gathered around from Bethany or from Jerusalem or wherever they were from, the Jews that were there saw him weeping and said, "Look how he loved him." But then they said this, "Could not this man who have opened the eyes of the blind," talking back about John 9 and John 10, "kept this man from dying?" That's what we looked at last week. And so I want to continue that thought. The answer is yes, he could have. He could have kept him from dying. And we talked a little bit about some of your tragedies, and could he have intervened in a different way in your tragedy? And maybe he could have. But maybe there's something happening behind the scenes for good. And so I want to pick that up again today just a little bit. Just to expand on that whole idea of could he or couldn't he. And so before I go to any scripture, I'm going to read just a little quote from an article written by Dr. Michael Brown, and it was in the Christian Post in the last week or two. And so I'm going to start with that. It's entitled, "Don't Lose Your Grip on God." Here's what it says. "I heard this moving story in the summer of 1983 at a large gathering of Christian believers. The speaker was an internationally respected Bible teacher, and his audience consisted of Christians who believed in the goodness of God. They believed that God still healed And they believed that God still worked miracles today. They also believed that he even promised supernatural protections to his children. This is from the article. After all, didn't the scriptures state that, and I quote from Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. That's what made this whole story all the more profound, because this story violated the expected narrative. The story continues, having related the divine call, the speaker that Michael Brown is referring to, having related the divine call to minister internationally with his singing group, this Christian leader described their great success in Africa, in Europe, behind the Iron Curtain. This was over a period of several years where things were going good until the fall of 1982. Then, while working in England, he was given a piece of unbelievable news. His precious wife had been killed in an automobile accident here in the United States. And here he was left now, a widower with three kids. Naturally, the man was totally crushed by this report, and he returned back to the United States broken, with the question, how could it be that he gave himself completely to the work of the Lord only to have something like this happen in his family? And so in anguish, he went to see the most prominent faith teacher of the day that he could think of, who spoke these words to him. And here's what the man spoke to him after he lost his wife. He said, "Son, there are some things we simply will never understand. There are some things that we do not have answers for." And then this man said to him, "But you cannot lose your grip in God. You cannot lose that, even when tragedy strikes." And so those of you who were here last week, you remember I quoted both Mary and Martha from John chapter 11. When they both felt the same way, this man has felt this way. Many of you have felt that way. "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And this man who's serving the Lord in faraway places is probably thinking, like many others that have given their life to Christ and tragedy happens, thinking, "I thought this isn't how it's supposed to happen." I also referred to us in that story from John chapter 11. At the very end of the story, before Jesus calls Lazarus from the tomb, and Martha is saying, when Jesus said, "Take away the stone," Martha is feeling, "Oh, mercy, what's going to happen now?" And she said as much, "Lord, he's been in there 4 days, by now he stinks." And here's what he said. Here's what Jesus said. He says it to all of us in our tragedy. "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And so this man who experienced the loss of his life a long time ago, while he was serving the Lord, simply was reminded by this man of God that he went to see, "Do not lose your grip on God." It would be easy at times like this to say, "God, if that's how you are, I'm done." Matter of fact, I've heard people say that. When tragedy strikes, they lose their loved one, they lose their parent, they lose their child. And I have heard people say, "If that's how he is, I don't need nothing to do with him." And that's where this man's advice comes to the man that lost his wife: do not lose your grip on God. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? We don't understand everything. We won't always have the answers for the tragedies of today, but we must trust in the Lord anyway. Some scripture before I go any further. You know these scriptures as well as I do. But let me just throw out three, four, five of them for us to ponder. John 16:33, Jesus is hours away from his crucifixion. He's told the disciples enough that their hearts are heavy. They're burdened with a lot of stuff. And we get to John 16:33, and Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." You know what, friends? If we're ever going to have any kind of peace on this side, it must be in Jesus. There isn't any other source of peace other than Jesus. And he doesn't end there. Here's what he said to them. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace." He knew that they were going to have trouble. But you want to have peace? You've got to trust in me when it gets hard. And then he said this to the 12 and all of us that'll trust in him completely. "In the world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He's telling these disciples, and he's telling us, and he's telling the man that who's serving him overseas that lost his wife. I'm telling you these things so that in me you will have that peace that passes understanding, that peace that the world does not understand, that peace even when tragedy happens. Romans 8:18, the Apostle Paul said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." Paul went through a lot of suffering. And in 2 Timothy 1:8, he talks to Timothy about the sufferings, some of them. He said, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." You see, friends, so oftentimes we get this idea, okay, I'm gonna follow the Lord now. I'm gonna give my life to Jesus now, and I expect everything to be perfect. You been there? You know people that have been there? So have I. That's not what the Word says. "This peace I give you," Jesus said, "I offer myself to you, because when you start walking the journey, this pathway called life, surrendered to Christ, there will be trouble. There will be trials. There will be temptation. There will be tribulation." Read Voice of the Martyrs. Read about our brothers and sisters in Pakistan and India right now who are losing their lives because they said, "I'm going to follow Jesus." We seem to have this mentality in America that God is some genie on a bottle or some puppet on a string, and when I call on him, he should be granting my wishes. That's not what Jesus died for. And so Paul reminds us, Jesus reminds us, when we genuinely follow Christ, there could be problems. Hello, are you with me? There could be. I personally think it's a tremendous joy and blessing to follow Jesus. But he says there could be trouble. There could be somewhere along the way. Romans 8:28. You know this one. I know this one. The Apostle Paul writes, excuse me, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Tell that to Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. But we know the other part of the story and those things being worked out for good. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Most of you know that I've referred to this verse, not for several years, but when Catherine had leukemia, I referred to this verse, and I told you straight out, I don't like that verse very much. But I believe it. I believe it's true. And when we're in the depths of despair and we're in pain, we wonder, what good is going to come from this? And that's when this advice from this man to the other man that lost his wife while he's away serving the Lord, that's when that advice comes to us and says, don't lose your grip on God because something didn't go the way we wanted it to go. That's when the words of Jesus comes back and reminds us, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace because in the world you will have trouble. That's when Jesus comes to us and reminds us the peace comes from him. What is my point to this today, friends? You can't lose your grip on the Lord when it doesn't go well. Are you hearing me today? Don't give up on him when it's not going well. Difficulties can happen. Tragedies can happen. Trouble and persecution can happen. When your spouse walks out on you, when the doctor tells you you're full of cancer, when your child of 7 dies, or 100 other tragedies happen in your lives, you cannot lose your grip on the Lord God. From that same article, Dr. Brown wrote this, and I quote, there are some things for which we have no answers, things that seem to make no sense, things that seem to break the rules, things that seem to even contradict the scriptures. But whatever happens and however much disappointment we might endure, one thing is critical. We cannot lose our grip in God. We cannot abandon him. And he concludes this by saying this, but you will argue, that's the problem. I thought I knew God. I thought I could trust him. I thought I could understand. I thought I understood him. But now I don't know if anything is real, including him. I feel I am grasping at straws, end quote. Have you been there, friends? Some of you have. People in our community have. In our time that remains, I just want to ask you a couple things. I want to ask you to ponder a couple things. Have you really surrendered everything to Jesus? What if he takes your spouse? What if he takes your child? What if he takes your health or allows your health or the destruction of your family or your job or your children or your spouse? What if that happens? Is your faith real? Is mine real? If we're only going to follow Jesus if it goes good, that's not following him. That's following man and that's following yourself. If I'm only going to commit my life to the Lord, if he says, conditions that said, if you take care of me and if everything goes right, that's not following Jesus. Jesus didn't die on that cross on Calvary's Hill a couple thousand years ago so that we get everything we think we deserve. He died on that cross so we might be free from the penalty of sin, which is hell. And when Jesus comes and invites us to follow him, it needs to be without reservations. It needs to be without, if you answer my prayers, if everything goes well, it needs to be without those kind of reservations. We need to commit to him and say, I will follow you no matter where that leads me and no matter what happens. That's what he's looking for. I'm going to talk about some things next week. I'm going to continue this little series, Could He or Couldn't He, one more week. And I'm going to talk about some things next week. I'm not going to talk about it today. I'm just going to wet your whistle. But I'm going to talk about some things about artificial intelligence and what's happening in that world a little bit next week. But I simply want to tell you, friends, in America, the way things are going, I love America. You know I do. I love the freedoms that we enjoy. But things could get a lot worse. Are you hearing me? Things could get a lot worse right here in America. Especially for Christians that'll take a stand for Jesus. And so I'm going to ask you this to close, and then we're going to sing. Have you really given your life to Jesus? Bonnie's not here this morning. Her parents are. But I talked to Bonnie Flansburg Wednesday night. She's got cancer all through her body. It's getting worse. She was down to Mayo Hospital Monday and Tuesday. They did some tests. Give her some news that was so-so. Give her some news that was not so-so. They're going to try some things. But the peace that she had in her spirit because of Jesus is supernatural. She knows the Prince of Peace. And even though her body is being consumed in cancer. And yes, Mayo has got some excellent doctors, the world's best. They've got a plan. They got some ideas. She has the peace that passes understanding because of Jesus. And she's not just saying, God, if that's how you are, I'm done with you. She knows Jesus. And she knows there's a home reserved for her on the other side. And I simply challenge us, friends, are you really following him without condition and without reservation? Or are you simply following because, well, I hope to get something. I hope he blesses me and I hope I'm rich and I hope this and that and the other thing. If you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, by faith, surrender to Christ. He's not a denomination. He's not a religion. He is Savior. And he invites us to come and put our unreserved faith in him and him alone. And if something happens that hurts, then the advice from this man that I read from you read to you from the little article, if something happens, I've put my faith in Christ. This isn't supposed to happen. If something does, then take the advice of that man to the man that lost his wife. Do not lose your grip on God. Let's sing together this song to close, and we'll pray. As Casey said earlier, remember after the second service, we are going to have potluck dinner together, and we'd sure welcome you to come back. We know that's a little ways off, but either be part of the Sunday school class or come back, whichever works for you. We would welcome you to be part of that as we celebrate with Harry McCoy his 100th birthday. The other thing I would say before I pray, I do not want to ever minimize your pain. I know it's real. Whether you've lost your loved one or your spouse walked out on you or something else. But I do want to encourage you, never lose your grip on Jesus. No matter what has happened, never lose your grip on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are faithful. We do not understand some of the things that happen. We're going to trust you anyway. Lord, we're going to ask you to help us through those tragedies. We're going to ask you to have and feel that peace all over again, as Jesus told the 12 they would have, even in tribulation and trouble. We're going to ask you, Lord, walk with us in the journey. And so whoever is watching today or here today, Father, that is in the journey of tragedy and struggle and difficulty and pain, will you help them to feel that peace all over again? And if there are people watching today or people even here today that haven't given their life completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that today would be the day they cry out to you by faith and say, Lord, come into my life and take control. I give my life to you. Forgive me of all my sins. Come in and take control of my life. I give it to you. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And they would encounter that peace, that joy unspeakable, that they know I'm walking with Jesus and he's walking with me. Go with each and every one today into this day and into this week, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.